Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on an awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've all had an awesome week, and it's always great to be back. Last week, I was going to do something different this week, but I felt kind of bad because last week we were in Isaiah 49, and we got to a very powerful passage, and of course the time was running out, and I was kind of pressed for time, so I kind of rushed through a couple of really important things. And I think they're worth going back to, because as you know, the prophet Isaiah, who is a major prophet, has 66 chapters, has his own scroll, which, you know, is evidence that you've made it as a major prophet when you have your own scroll. It's a little joke, but it was in fact a major prophet. And there is all the truth of the plan of salvation contained in the scroll of Isaiah. In fact, sometimes it's unofficially called the gospel according to Isaiah, because it has everything in it, from the birth of the Messiah to the suffering of the Messiah to salvation coming from the Messiah to Gentiles being included in the kingdom of the Messiah. And it's all there in the book of Isaiah. And we could spend, I mean, anybody could spend years just studying Isaiah, but we're not going to do that because we only have about a half, not even a half hour at a time. But we've been in chapter 49, and we're going to just go down to verse 15. So if you have your Bible or you want to click to it, it's Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are always before me. Now, like we mentioned last time, this refers to the Israelites. This refers to the people after exile. This refers to the people while they're in exile and when they come back to the land. And some of the blessings that Isaiah mentions in this chapter, and if you want to hear the other shows about it, go to www.giftofgraceministries.org or look them up on the podcast. You can find the podcast by searching for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace. And I don't want to rehash all that, but there are parallel passages that refer to the exile coming to an end, but also refer to the church, refer to the time after Messiah, because after all, Messiah came to take us out of the exile of sin. He came to defeat sin and death. And when Jesus mentioned to the religious leaders that all the scrolls were about him, he said all the scrolls. He didn't say some of them. He didn't say half of this one, 20% of that one. There's 3-4 words in that one that are about me. He says all the scrolls are about me, which includes the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. So here you have God talking about tender affection, like a nursing child. A woman doesn't forget her nursing child, comforts him, takes care of him. Now, God also adds, some women might forget them. Some women may have such a powerful sin attraction or sin nature that they would even forget their own child. But he says, even if your human mother would forget about you, I'm not going to forget about you, because nobody loves you more than I do. No one loves you more than God loves you. Nobody loves your children more than God loves them, way more than you love them, way more than you love them. And he says, I've written your names on the palms of my hands. You know, the people in Zion said, I think the Lord's forgotten us. We're in exile. They got themselves into exile. Let's not hesitate to point out, they weren't innocent victims. You know, in the book of Galatians, I think it's chapter 6, but I don't have it in front of me. Paul writes, God is not mocked. You know, in our society, we feel God, we can mock God anytime, day or night. But he is not mocked. There are repercussions for mocking him. And the people had experienced that by exile into Babylon. So we have to set that straight. They're not innocent victims. But when they say, oh, God has forgotten us, God has forgotten us. He said, no, I have your names written on the palms of my hand. He's talking about Israel. But when we come to Jesus as Messiah, when he becomes our Lord and Savior, and that we dedicate our lives to following him, he has his names written, our names written. He has our names written on the palms of his hands. He knows who we all are. He knows where all his children are. He knows where all his followers are. You know, in Deuteronomy, it says that God's eyes search the earth. They move to and fro, looking for who's going to follow, looking for who's going to serve, always ready to take us. You know, in the American church, we always say, oh, Jesus accepted everyone. He never turned anyone away. And yes, that's true. But he accepted everyone, but he changed their lives. You don't accept someone and say, it's okay if you stay the way you are. Because their lives need to be changed. So he says, your names are written on the palms of my hands. You know, and back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and when you study the Torah, when you study the whole Old Testament, but especially when you study the Torah and you see all the prefigurements that are there about the Messiah, you can't even believe it. Like I always like to say, if you start studying the Bible in Matthew 1:1, first of all, you miss two-thirds of the scriptures. Secondly, you don't get the full impact, the full background, the full power of why Jesus came and what he actually did and how he came. He didn't just pop up. He didn't just show up. He didn't just come to teach us how to live. He didn't come to just make us happy. And so studying the Torah is such a powerful thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is such an amazing chapter because it starts out, you know, you have in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, you have the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. God says, I am one. There's none beside me. Israel, I am God and I'm one. We know that. We know that the Godhead is one. We know that he is Trinity with three distinct persons within the same essence within the Godhead. He is one. And then it goes on from there to do what in Hebrew is called the Via Hafta, which is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your right, so forth, and teach your children and talk about it all the time. And then he says, you bind this as a sign on your hand and on your forehead. You bind it as a sign. That scripture, you bind as a sign. It's on your forehead, so it's always on your mind, and it's on your hands. So when you're praying and you look at your hands, because the position of prayer is to look at your hands. The position of prayer is not folding your hands with your thumbs interlocked. The position of prayer is standing and having your hands apart. And when you see the palms of your hands, you see those scriptures that are there. Here God says, when I look at my hands, I see your names. I see Israel, yes, because I know where all my people are. Even in the exile from 70 AD to 1948, I knew where each one of them was. I know where each of them is now because they're my covenant people. But I also know who all my followers are who are following Messiah, whether they're Gentiles, whether they're Jews. They're on the palms of my hand, just like we see what are called the Tephilim. In the Greek gospel, we call them the phylactery, but in Hebrew, they're Tephilim. When you look at the Tephilim on your hands, you have that scripture that there is one God, he's one, and you love him more than anything else. And you teach this to your children and you think about this during the course of your life. Because Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for followers and he's looking for disciples, especially in the world we live in today. You know, the American election is 2 days from now. 2 days from now. And there is a stark contrast between the two campaigns. Stark. And Jesus is looking for people who are going to think before they vote, before they think about what somebody, well, they think about somebody and what they stand for before they vote for him, regardless of their personality. So when we look at the Tefillin in our hands, we see that we know that scripture, and that scripture is important to us. We're children of the new covenant. The people were children of the covenant of law. You know, back in the Song of Songs, which if you've never studied the Song of Songs, I don't even know what to tell you, because when I studied it some years ago, it just remade my whole life. And again, if you go to that www.giftofgraceministries site, under the heading Bible Studies, there is an audio teaching I put together on each of the chapters of the Song of Songs. But, you know, the bride, it's about a bride and a groom. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. And the bride says, I want you to set me as a seal on your heart and on your arm. The bride wants to confirm her union with him, to be more intimate. She wants a place in his heart. She wants to be bound to his love. And she wants it to be a permanent seal so that nothing would separate him and her. A permanent seal. The bride always wants her name sealed on his heart and on his hand. And this is the same idea. This is the binding, the sign on the hands. And if we have those reminders on our forehead and on our hands, we remember the covenant. They were to remember the covenant. We are to remember him when we see our hands and our hearts. He has our names on his hands, and he remembers the covenant he has with us. And then he says, your walls are always before me. You know, he's talking about Jerusalem. You know, the walls, when the people were in Babylon, the walls were destroyed. Read the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. You see, the walls were destroyed. The gates were burned down with fire. And Nehemiah is sad about this, just crushed by this. And he gets permission from King Cyrus to go back to the land, to rebuild the walls, to rebuild the temple. But even when Jerusalem was destroyed, God always had her walls before him, has her walls before him now all the time, because he is, this is his city. This is the holy city. There is no other city like Jerusalem. And the walls, of course, always represent protection. He's going to build protection around them. He builds protection around us. We have walls around us. And he won't abandon that protection. So he has us written on the palms of his hands, and he sees the walls around his city all the time. He sees the walls around us all the time. Because this is what he thinks about us in terms of his love and affection for us and the importance of the covenant. And so he does not abandon us. He does not abandon our protection. Jesus says to the Father, all their sins are covered. Their sins are covered by my blood. And so this is even a prefigurement in Isaiah of that. Then we're going to go down to verse 18 because, you know, time always goes so fast. Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourself with them as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. So after the exile from Babylon, there was revival and there was renewal. And again, Read the books of Nehemiah and Ezra. Read what happens when Ezra stands on the wooden platform and reads the word from 6 a.m. to noon. In our day, people couldn't stand to listen to the word being read for 15 minutes, let alone for 6 hours. But after he reads the word, revival breaks out. And this is a symbolism in this passage from Isaiah of the church coming to the groom, the bride coming to the groom, the people assembling under the new banner. You know, Isaiah 11, again, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, I think it is, talks about how God talks about how he sets up an ensign, a banner, a standard, different translations say different things, for all the people. All the people are going to come. You know, when the Israelites were in their camps, each tribe had a banner to identify them. But God says he's going to set up a banner. He's going to set up a standard for everyone in the world to come to. And that, of course, is the cross. Because we as Gentiles, and I assume most of you that are listening are Gentiles, if there's some Jewish believer listening, that's awesome. I'd be totally excited to hear about that. But the new standard, the new banner that we assemble under is the cross. And it's not just the Israelites. It's all the people of the world. And in this passage, we're in Isaiah 49, the word assembling in the Hebrew has the connotation of assembling as if for a battle. We're assembling not only to worship, but to be ready to fight. The church in our modern time has given up fighting. We've just surrendered to the culture. In fact, we're racing to be part of the culture. Racing. And this is why you hear no comments from any leaders of any denomination about the darkness that's overtaking our culture. But I would refer you to my YouTube page to get more stuff about that. But the YouTube page, by the way, is One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. So then he points out we're all going to wear ornaments. In the Hebrew, he's talking about bridal clothes. We're all going to wear bridal clothes because the church is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians, Paul says the church is going to be presented as a pure and spotless bride to the Father. So we have the spotless robes that we put on. We put on wedding garments. Do we put them on because we're spotless? Nope. We're anything but spotless. Do we put them on because we're so holy and righteous? No. We're anything but holy and righteous. We put them on because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You know, I always quote to you and I tell you, if you only want to memorize one verse from the whole scripture, one in the whole scripture, let it be 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we may become the righteousness of God in him, not our righteousness. We can't do this in the power of Adam. We can only do this in the power of the second Adam, who, of course, is Jesus. And then just to emphasize again how important this is that everyone is going to come to the same banner, God says in verse 22, "Behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations, and set up my standard for the peoples." The word for peoples there is goyim. It means the nations, the Gentiles. "And set up a standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders." So he commands the Gentiles to return the Israelites to their land. This happened after the Babylonian exile. This happened in 1948 and is basically still happening. But what's happened is the Gentiles have now come to the Jewish Messiah. God invites them in through the preaching of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit. They are all invited into the kingdom. And it's going to be an oath. God says it's an oath. Remember, God can't swear to anyone. Right? When we take an oath, we say, you know, so help me God. Or I swear to God that this is true, which you should be very careful about doing, as Jesus points out. But we say that in courts of law. You swear to tell the truth. God can't swear to anyone except himself. He can only swear to himself. So he says, I swear an oath that I'm going to put up my standard for the goyim, for the nations, for the Gentiles. They're going to come too. And then he goes on to say, all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So I want to make it clear that I'm your Redeemer. You don't redeem yourself. You don't work so hard at being good, and you don't work so hard at being nice that I'm going to have to say, wow, I guess I have to save him. Look how good he's been. Look how nice he's been. No, he says, I am your Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the Mighty One of Jacob. So it's clear God delivers his people from Egypt, from slavery. He delivers his people from the exile. And he delivers us from our slavery to sin. And so salvation is only from him. He says, I'm the Holy One of Israel. I'm the Mighty One of Jacob. And he's talking about Jesus. This was one of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is that all the nations of the earth, all the nations of the earth, the goyim, would be blessed by Abraham. Not by Abraham himself, but because of Abraham, his descendant. And so salvation is from him. He is descended from the three patriarchs. He is descended from the people of the covenant. And salvation comes from him, because of what's stated there in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And please go back and memorize it, because it's the most awesome, amazing verse in the whole scripture, I think. So here in the prophet Isaiah, in this unbelievable 66 chapters, we have the fullness of the whole plan of salvation, even as it applies to people who at the time were out of the covenant. I sometimes wonder what Isaiah, as a God-fearing, observant Jewish man who was writing down words he was getting from the Lord, was thinking when he wrote words about the goyim and the I'm the Savior and I'm the Mighty One of Jacob and I'm going to take care of all the nations, because the covenant was only for them. Even the apostles thought the covenant was for them. The Messiah was for them. They were kind of surprised when the Holy Spirit fell in Cornelius' house, when people in Samaria were accepting Jesus. Peter and John said, we better go up there and see what's going on, because this is pretty weird. Paul went out and brought the nations in. And so Isaiah foretold all of this. He foresaw all of this through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to him. So I love this chapter. And oh, I know the music's already playing. I can't even believe it. But I promise next week we're going to do something else. So anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. I hope you have a great week. And join us again next week, where we're going to read and teach God's word, and we're going to proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have a good week. Raised in faith.
shepherd, a staff in hand. Freedom from chains, a lamb's blood, a stain.